Well, as I mentioned, we're heading into this series. But if I told you that Jesus himself had prepared a special gift for each of us, that it was something that he indicated that we would need every single day, and that without it, we would be totally unprepared for what God wanted us to do. And yet I also told you that many Christians ignored this gift or even felt that it's not that important. What would you think? Now, I know that I've kind of let the cat out of the bag. You might know what gift I'm talking about. But this, I want us to just think about this for a moment, right? God, Jesus said, I'm going and I'm giving you a gift. The Holy Spirit. And he said, you will need this. And yet so often, we pray, maybe to the Father, maybe to Jesus. We focus, we ask, we read the Bible, and we think, I want to please God, thinking of God the Father often. And yet, how much thought do we give to the Holy Spirit? And that's why I wanted to do this series on the Holy Spirit, in part, because I believe that there has been a lot of confusion and division about the Holy Spirit over the last 2,000 years. And yet the Holy Spirit is truly a beautiful gift that Christ gave to his church. And so while there has been a lot of mess, there's been a lot of people who got obsessed and kind of got things out of proportion in the area of the Holy Spirit. And this even happened in the early church. That's why Paul wrote his letter to the Corinthians, in large part was because they were doing lots of things, but they had gotten things out of whack, and he wrote to correct them. But one thing that Paul didn't do was he didn't say, just stop. Just forget about the Holy Spirit and focus on the Father and the Son. No, he wrote to encourage the appropriate response to the Spirit. Let's allow the Spirit to work in a proper way. And because of all that has happened, sometimes churches or even individuals have kind of tried to stamp out any move of the Holy Spirit, anything that we'll just follow what the Bible says like a textbook and not allow God in his Spirit, who Jesus said comes to be with us, comes within us, not allowing him to do what he wants in our lives. Now, the Holy Spirit, of course, is powerful. And so he does a lot of things in our lives, whether we're aware of it or not. But imagine how much more effective it is when we say, God, come, have your way, Holy Spirit, in my life. When we're open to what he wants to do. And that's what I really want to encourage us as a congregation as we start this series. I'm not asking you to check your brains at the door. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he's like, how we should be responding, what the gifts of the Spirit are about. We're going to look at lots of things. And we need to think about these things. We need to understand these things. But at the very beginning, the most important thing of all is that we recognize that as a Christian, if God is our Lord and he's given us this gift, we need to say, thank you, God. Help me to understand this gift. Help me to use the gift well that you would give to me. Help me to know you more. Because that's really where we're going with the Holy Spirit. And this morning we're going to particularly look at what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit. I know we sometimes start at Pentecost when the Spirit came in a mighty way on the church. But I want us to look in a little more detail at what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. And we're going to, if you turn to the Gospel of John, we're going to be looking at the chapters 14 to 16. So I'm going to be kind of giving an overview, though we will look at specific verses in that time. But I'd like you to kind of keep that open, and I'll keep coming back to various parts of that. And I recognize you have paper or electronic, but I really want to encourage you to do this because, You know, sometimes we just listen to pastors and we just, you know, take in all they say and yes, yes, yes. But you know, the word is powerful on its own. And sometimes even as I'm talking about the word and you're looking at it, the Holy Spirit might speak to you, not from what I'm saying, but from the word. And so we should all be looking at the word together and saying, Holy Spirit, what would you say to us today from your word? Now, most of you, I'm going to just introduce a few things here before we dive into the text itself. But most of you have probably grown up with an understanding that God is a Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. And yet, we don't understand it. We can say, yes, I understand it, but we don't really understand. How can he be one God in three persons? And theologians have spent years trying to unpack exactly how this works. And I think we need to remind ourselves at the very beginning that God is not a big human. He is a person, but he's not a big human. He is different than we are. And the Bible, I think, clearly shows us that God is going to be beyond our understanding. And yet God has revealed himself in his word and wants us to understand things about him. So we'll never understand all that there is to know about God. That's one of the wonderful things about the Christian walk, is that it's a never-ending journey of exploration and discovery of how good God is, how awesome and holy he is, how powerful he is, to experience him in new ways throughout our life. But I want us to just think about the Trinity for a moment, because there are people who reject the Trinity. Of course, Muslims think that Christians are tritheists, that we believe in multiple gods. And there's even a Pentecostal denomination that would refer to them as oneness Pentecostals, or sometimes you'll see them call themselves apostolic Pentecostal churches, that reject the doctrine of the Trinity and say that Jesus is the name of God, and that the Father is simply an expression of God's transcendence, that he's above all. And the Spirit is an expression of the fact that God is in everything, that God is immanent, we would say. And yet, and so, I mean, as we come to this kind of thing, we have to actually consider, do we believe that the Holy Spirit is a person? Do we really believe it? Because, you know, I think a lot of Christians, we fall into what I would call practical oneness. Where, as I said earlier, we live and act as though the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. And we don't really have any understanding and maybe don't even care about what the difference is between the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. But while the word the Trinity never occurs in Scripture itself, we find the expression of the Trinity all throughout Scripture. Even from the very opening words of Genesis, when God says, let us make whatever it is that he's making. God spoke in plural form to speak of himself. His name, not Yahweh, but the other, when he speaks of himself as God, he calls himself Elohim. And Elohim is a plural expression. And he'll say, God, plural, is one. That's confusing for us, but it's right there in the opening pages of Scripture for Jewish people who would reject Jesus as God's true Son and one with him. They, too, can see it in their own Scriptures if they look for it, that there is this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. And there's the Spirit of God that comes upon people all throughout the Old Testament as well. But I want us to see what Jesus has to say in John 14, verses 15 to 17. This is one of the ways, and not the only way, but Jesus spoke about the Trinity here, and he said, if you love me, keep my commands. Notice he doesn't say, keep God's commands. Keep my commands. That alone is a statement that Jesus is making of who he is. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Jesus, the Son who had just declared his oneness with the Father just a few verses before in verse 6 and 7 when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. That's a statement of oneness, that when you know the Son, you know the Father because he is one God. And now he speaks of the Father and himself and the Holy Spirit as separate. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus' spirit in the way that we have a spirit, because we're only one. We're only one being. And yet the Holy Spirit is distinct from, does things separate. I can't speak of, well, I am doing this, but my spirit is doing that. But the Bible talks about that God acts. Going back to Genesis, it talks about that at the beginning of creation, that God spoke and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. The Bible clearly communicates, not just here, but everywhere we see, that the Holy Spirit is something separate from Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit himself is eternal, that he is omnipresent everywhere. Everywhere we can go, the Holy Spirit is. In fact, the psalmist says, where can I go to flee from your spirit? There's nowhere. And that the Holy Spirit knows everything, even the thoughts of God. Now, I don't speak of knowing my own thoughts, do I? And so this is the part that's hard to understand. He's one God. And yet, Jesus can speak of himself and the Father as different, of him doing the will of the Father, of the Holy Spirit knowing the thoughts of God. And this is God trying to explain to us, to express to us his very nature that is beyond our understanding. We need to understand this morning that the Holy Spirit is not a force like in Star Wars. In John 14, 16 to 17 that we just read, Jesus says, the Father will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And then he continues and says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Wow. The first thing we need to see about that passage is that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. And you know, in Greek, they have a neuter pronoun, so they can easily talk about the Holy Spirit as an it, but we don't find that. We find that the Holy Spirit is spoken of as he, a person who we can interact with. The Holy Spirit is not just a representation of God's power. He is a distinct person of the Trinity that we can come to know and understand in a deeper way. That's what Jesus is telling us as we read between the lines, in a sense, as he simply speaks of him as a person. And in this verse, verse 17, Jesus is talking about a change that's happening in how we would relate to the Holy Spirit as Christians. He says that to his disciples, right now the Holy Spirit lives with you, but he will be in you. And we're going to get to the in you part and talk more about that as we look through Scripture. But we need to understand here that at the very base of it, in the Old Testament, we find that the Holy Spirit came upon people for a particular purpose at a particular time. So God would choose one person, sometimes one person in a generation. We'd see someone like Samson. And God saw the oppression on the Israelites, and he would come and find a person like Samson and say, I'm going to put my spirit on Samson. But when Samson disobeyed, the spirit left him. The spirit wasn't in him. The spirit came upon him. God anointed David as king. God came upon him and he prophesied. And we see all these things where the Spirit comes, the Spirit goes, the Spirit chooses a certain person. But now Jesus is saying, the Spirit won't just be with you. The Spirit will be in you. And this was prophesied in the Old Testament by the prophet Joel, who Peter quotes on the day of Pentecost. And the prophet Joel is looking forward and hearing from God and probably not even understanding all that God is communicating. But he's saying, and afterward, I will pour my spirit on all people, not one person in a generation, but all people, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days. Later, in the New Testament, we find Paul expressing this as that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, bringing up the picture of the Old Testament temple where God's holy presence dwelt. And I want us for a moment to just stop at that picture and think of what this would mean for the disciples when Jesus was saying, he won't just be with you, he will be in you. Because for a Jew, the idea of God's presence was a scary thing. God's presence was in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, that the priests only entered once a year. And he had to be very careful. He had to follow all sorts of purification rituals and then bring an offering for the sin of all the people, praying that God would accept it. Very conscious of the fact that God's presence was something that when people saw even a glimpse of God's presence, they would fall on their face and say, woe is me. Some of them were not too careful about God's presence, and they died. When they tried to move the ark of the Lord not according to God's instructions, when they offered sacrifices the way they wanted to, Aaron's sons, the very first priests, died. And yet Jesus is saying, that holy presence that is in the Holy of Holies in the temple, that is coming to live inside of you. Wow. When we talk about God in us, I think we take it so lightly, so often. Because it's just become something we know. But we have to ask ourselves, are we taking the presence of the Holy Spirit for granted? Not even thinking about what it means to be a temple of the Holy Spirit? Instead of wonder and awe that God would choose to do that, to choose to put his Holy Presence in me, we just go about our day as usual? I know it's hard to stay awestruck all the time. But there's a sense in which we should almost wake up every morning and say, God, just fill me with a fresh awe at who you are, and that who you are is in me by your Holy Spirit. And then beginning in verse 25 of our passage today in chapter 14, Jesus continues to talk about what the Spirit will do when he is in them. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is not just there to help us with whatever we want to do. The Holy Spirit is a teacher who is going to help us to become like Christ. That's what the word Christian means, right? Little Christ. That we become like Christ. But how do we do that? We're hopeless, Paul talks about in Romans, at doing this. Our flesh, you know, our spirit is willing, he says, but our flesh is weak. We keep doing the wrong things. It is the Holy Spirit, our teacher, who enables us to stop the things we should stop, to start doing the things we need to start doing, to become like Christ. What an awesome thing that is. And I want to ask us today, can you think of somebody just for a moment, somebody that you admire? Maybe if you're into sports, it would be a sports figure, or if you're really into science, it'd be some scientist who made a great discovery, or if it's in art, might be one of the great artists, whoever it is. And now imagine for a moment that you got a letter or an email or somebody called you and said, that person that you admire, they're coming to town this week and they would like a meeting with you, one-on-one. And they are going to teach you everything they know. You don't have to be awesome at it. You know, maybe you love sports, but you're not actually good at playing them. But they're going to come and, you know, play hockey with you. And they're going to show you and help and coach you, and you're going to get better. How many of us would say, well, I'm really busy this week. I don't think I have time. No, we'd be all over that, right? We'd be like, tell me when the appointment's going to be. I will block out everything else. I will not, you know, we'd be so excited. But you know, the Holy Spirit is the most awesome being in all of creation. He's God. He created everything that exists. And the Bible is, Jesus is saying, he is going to be your teacher, living inside you, with you 24/7. And we're like, what's on tonight on the TV? Can I, you know, it's okay to watch television. I'm not saying you can't ever watch television. But I'm just like, can we think about the fact that we have this teacher with us, inside us, who is just longing to mold and shape us and help us to become all that God has designed us to be. And most of the time, I think we ignore him and go about our daily lives. And so as we talk about wanting more of the Spirit, we can't talk about just wanting more of the Spirit on Sunday mornings. We need to want more of the Holy Spirit when we're at work, when we're at school, when we're sitting at the table with our family eating, when we're out just enjoying nature or playing sports or even watching television, whatever we're doing, that we're saying, Lord, what would you teach me in this moment? Maybe he'd say, turn off. Change the channel. You know, sometimes God says things like that, very simple, down-to-earth stuff. What you're doing right now is not helpful to your growth as a Christian. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus' very next words, even though he doesn't mention the Holy Spirit, but the very next words are, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. In other words, you know, the world gives and takes away. I'm giving you this to keep. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And you know, I don't think that this is about, that he's speaking about the Holy Spirit here just because he just finished talking about the Holy Spirit. But because this is what Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit does elsewhere. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will empower us to face difficulty, to be able to testify of who he is in the face of opposition. He says, you will be my witnesses. And I believe that's only because the Holy Spirit will give us peace in those moments, that we don't have to be troubled or afraid because God is in us. Greater is He that is in the world. Sorry, I got that wrong. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, our enemy. Right? And so this morning, as we understand what it means that the Holy Spirit is in us as Christians, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is not just a teacher. He is our source of peace and hope and our source of power. And in the last couple of verses of chapter 15, in the beginning of chapter 16, Jesus talks about that. In verse 27 of chapter 15, he says, "When the advocate comes, whom I'll send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify. For you have been with me from the beginning." You also must testify. The Holy Spirit is not just going to give you peace and help you not to be afraid. He's going to empower you to do beyond what you could ever do on your own. And I believe that this foreshadows Jesus' words in Acts 1:8, where he says, "The Spirit will come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth." So the Holy Spirit is not just our teacher. He's not just there giving us peace and power and emboldening us. Jesus goes on to say here in this passage that the Holy Spirit is continuous, current proof that Jesus is who he said he was. You know, back on Easter, I talked about all the evidences for the resurrection. But you know, one of the best evidences for the resurrection is the Holy Spirit in us. When we sense God moving in our lives, we know that God is living and active. And when we're following what God says in His Word and the Holy Spirit speaks to us through it, we know that His Word is true. And His Word tells us that Jesus is our Redeemer and Savior, that we are God's son or daughter, that we in Christ, that all power and authority is available to us, that we can take on anything that God puts in our path with His help. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it affects our witness, it empowers us so much, because it's like, I don't just think God is real. I know God is real because I've experienced Him. He's in me, and not just in me in some sort of, well, I think He's there, but I've felt His power. I've experienced Him working through me. Oh, that we would all have that renewed sense. I know that some of you have experienced that in the past, but we need to experience it now in the present. And that's what the Holy Spirit is all about, the present. He's directing us right now. He's speaking to us right now in this place. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Are you experiencing Him today? I know that some people have struggled, that they have sought God and they'd say, you know, I'm not sure. I believe that the Spirit would call to us today and say, seek and you will find. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be open to you. Not always instantly. We don't always understand exactly. But we need to seek more of God. We need to seek and not give up. Jesus told His disciples to pray and not give up. And so if you've become discouraged, if as I'm speaking of experiencing the Spirit, you're like, well, I guess that's for somebody else because I've come to an altar before. I've sought the Lord and nothing happened. Don't give up. Seek. He can be found. He will be found. It might not be for you like it was for your friend, your relative, you know, somebody else who's told you the story. God is unique. We are unique. He treats us uniquely. But I believe that all of us should be experiencing the Spirit at work. And in the last part of our passage, beginning at verse 12 of chapter 16, Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. Wow. Jesus is so candid in this passage. I love how He says, I have much more to say to you, but you can't bear it. And you know, I've experienced that in my life. If Jesus told me my future when I was 30, I think I might have said, oh, God, help me. I can't do that. I might have given up. If He told me when I was 15 or maybe even when I was 40. But you know, the Holy Spirit, because He's with us, He just gives us the strength for every day. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He guides us. He strengthens us. When we feel weak, He is strong. And so we find as we seek after more of the Spirit's work in our lives that God begins to guide our decisions. He helps us in those moments where we're confused and don't know what's going on. And it's so interesting to me that Jesus says, I have so much more I want to say to you, and don't worry, I'm going away. But you're still find out what I wanted to say to you because the Holy Spirit is with you. That's how Jesus speaks to us today. That's how we even got the New Testament. Jesus didn't quote all the words in the New Testament, not even all the words in the Gospels. But the Holy Spirit, Peter talks about this, that the Holy Spirit came upon people. And they received the revelation and wrote it down. And the church recognized that it was Scripture, that it was true, that this was not just the work of Paul, but this was God speaking. And you know, the Holy Spirit is still speaking today. We don't expect new books of the Bible to be written at this point, but we do expect that the Spirit will speak, He will direct, He will guide us. And we'll talk in future weeks about, of course, the things that we need to do to ensure that it really is the Holy Spirit, that we need to discern what we're receiving. But for today, I want us just to focus on this fact that Jesus said the Spirit would guide us into all truth. When you open your Bible, if you feel like you're not getting anything, you know, this is an opportunity to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Speak to me through Your Word. I so need Your Word. I so need You to speak to me, to guide me in understanding truth. God can use other people as instruments of His Spirit to help us to understand. That's one of the reasons why we gather here, to hear a sermon in part, among other things, each Sunday. But God can also speak to us, and I believe does speak to us individually. But are we listening? Or are we saying, I don't really need it? And I know that most of us would not actually say, oh, I don't need the Holy Spirit, because we know what the Bible says. But is that what we're saying with the way we're living our lives? It's so easy to happen. And even if for many, many years we have sought God and followed after God, we can so easily slip into kind of a neutral. And you know, if you're going up a hill in neutral, you start to roll backwards. There's no staying at a certain point. You either are going ahead with God or you're falling away. And so my heart's cry for our church, for you this morning, is that you would seek more of Him. And I would seek more of Him. And as we seek more of Him together, that the Holy Spirit would direct His church. That we wouldn't just sit and plan and do ministries and go home and go to school and go to work and say, well, I hope I'm doing what's pleasing to God. But that we would be God's hands extended. We would be His feet going to places where maybe nobody else in the church will ever go. And we can only do that as we each individually allow God to guide us. And then corporately gathered together, say, God, what are you calling us here on the South Shore to do together? How can we make a difference in our community? It's not up to me. I don't have all the ideas. It's not up to the board. They don't have all the ideas. It's not up to some ministry leader. It's up to the Holy Spirit working in us. And so I trust that as we become more and more conscious of our need for the Spirit, that God is going to do amazing things among us. And that's what I really feel like we need to focus on at this beginning. And I recognize many of you are perhaps far beyond me in understanding and following in the Spirit. But it's still, I can still speak of it as a beginning because I believe that it's a new beginning. With the Spirit, there are always new beginnings. And as we were meeting as a board this past week, we actually looked at John chapter 16 a little bit together. And one of the board members was sharing with us that he felt like we just really needed to be more conscious of our need for the Holy Spirit. And that may be where you need to rest today, to just say, Lord, I realize that I have been kind of living apart from your Spirit. Even though I know your Spirit's inside me, I somehow have just been ignoring. I need to be more conscious of how much I need you. I can't do this on my own. I can't be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl. I can't be the husband, the wife, the son, the daughter. I can't be the student. I can't be the worker that you want me to be without your empowerment. I can't be the witness for sure that you want me to be without you. We need to be more conscious of our need for Him. And we need to be more conscious of His presence. That He is there. And so today, as we even just consider all that Jesus shared with us about the Spirit, all the things that the Spirit is to us, that He is in us, He is our teacher, that He is our peace, our empowerment. I believe that together we need to begin to seek Him like never before. And so as the worship team comes this morning, I want to invite us as a congregation to respond, not to me, not to even God's word, though that's part of our response, but really to respond to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. Whatever you want, I recognize that your plan for me is better than my plan for me. And I know that as I say this, that There might be those of you who have been hurt in the past in some way as you sought the Holy Spirit. Usually it happens through someone else who maybe means well but really doesn't understand how the Spirit works. And so the first, we're actually going to sing a couple of songs because I want us to take some time to really soak in the presence of the Spirit, to invite Him. And the first song, in a sense, is a song that simply is saying, God, maybe I'm not sure about this. I don't even know what your Holy Spirit is like. But I understand that you are drawing me. And so I will take a step this morning. And I believe that that's all God asks of us is take a step. I'll help you. I'll bring you the next steps. But just take a step. And then tomorrow I'll have maybe another step for you. So I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. And for many of us, I believe that step is simply to say, God, I need your Spirit. Move in me. Speak to me today. Have your way. But I want to encourage us this morning to come to the front. And this morning, not so much that we would receive prayer, but simply as a statement to say, Holy Spirit, I'm responding. I'm taking the step. I'm saying yes to you. Yes, come even now. You know, if every person in this congregation comes to the front and there isn't even enough room for us all at the front, I think that would be great. But I'm not trying to manipulate anybody to come. But simply that if the Spirit is calling to you today and you're saying, yes, yes, I want more. Lord, Holy Spirit, work in me. Would you come? And let's together, in a sense, make this statement before the Lord. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be here saying, Lord, I want more of you. Would you come as the worship team leads us? And let's just lay down whatever fears or concerns or whatever it is that might be in our heart and say, Lord, yes, more of you, more of you, more of you. Come as they lead us this morning. Let's just express that to him in our own words now. Just cry out to him this morning. Invite the Holy Spirit in your life. Oh, God. How we need you, Lord. How we need your presence, oh God. How we need your guidance, oh God. How we need more of your Spirit's power in us, oh God. Oh, Lord. Help us to be aware, oh God. We yield ourselves to you. Oh, God, may your Holy Spirit make us holy. Holy Spirit, make us holy like you are, oh God. Purify us. Presence is sweet. At times like these, we sense your presence, and it's so wonderful. But God, we know the truth that you are always with us. You are always in us. And so to this morning, as we have sought your face, Lord, we just want to take that same sense of your presence wherever we go. We want to take it home with us today. Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to be evident as we break bread with one another. We want your Holy Spirit's presence to be evident to us when we wake up tomorrow morning and head to work or school or wherever we go. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to know your presence, to be aware of your presence wherever we go. And Lord, not just in the sense that your presence is sweet, but in the sense that your presence is powerful, that you are giving us strength and hope and peace and joy and wisdom and discernment, that you are our guide. Oh, Holy Spirit, how we need that. How the South Shore needs that. How Montreal needs that. How Quebec needs for us to get that. And so, God, we cry out today and we invite you to arrest our attention. Wherever we are, God, what you need to do to get our attention, would you do it? And Lord, we just pray for that sensitivity that when you speak, that we would listen. And God, as we commit before you today to do all that we can to listen, Lord, as we take this first step today, God, we do so looking forward to what you are going to do. Our faith is building within our hearts even now. Not faith that we can drum up somehow, but I believe that in this place, your Holy Spirit is just infusing us with faith to believe that you can do something through little old us this week. That as we obediently step out, as we say, God, I'm going to listen. I'm going to follow where you ask. I'm going to obey. That you're going to do something. Something that will build our faith, that will help us to see that you are at work even through us, imperfect, flawed as we are, that you would choose to use us, your children, and to delight in that. And so, God, I look forward to hearing what your amazing things that you're doing in people's lives. No matter how small or how big, God, we know that you are at work. So we look forward to that in the coming week. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 God is so good. Amen.